Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You know, I knew a minister, a pastor that come through Amarillo sometime. He's been there a bunch of different times, and he counseled with this lady, and she had this problem. And you know, counseling, I've been on the other end of it. I've never been on the pastor end of it, but I've been on the end of it, and I got problems. How many's ever had problems in your life? And she kept saying about, I got this, that, and got just, she kept saying, I got these cobwebs in my life. Got to get the cobwebs in my life. And he finally came to me and said, ma'am, said, what, lady, what you need to do? He says, you need to kill that spider. That's what you got to do. And you know what? This song has been going over. I hadn't sang it in a long time. It's going over and over in my head. I just couldn't get away. You know, it's not, I could sing 100 songs. What song are you going to sing? And I'm always just, Lord, what is it that you would want?
Amen.
It's not what I want.
Yes.
And this song is something that I think we all go through. And, you know, we can't hide nothing from God. God knows everything. But sometimes, and I don't know, I'm not talking about lying. I'm not talking about stealing. I'm not talking about robbing a bank. But something that sometimes in our life we think, well, I just do this and, you know, I'll fix this later. This is not exactly right. But you know, God knows all that. And I thought, and I've been down these roads, and I want my house to be clean.
Yes.
I want to be no longer me, but you know, just if I can remember the words of this song, when you're sitting out there, you can remember everything you did. Can you put the words in mind? You just pray for us this morning. Well, my heart was like a house. I don't want no one to know.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. And Lord, truly, that's what we want to do this morning, is just stand in awe of you, Father. Lord, as we know, you're greater than any circumstance, oh God. Lord, of any trial, Lord, any burden that we may have, you are greater, Father. And Lord, may we just stand in awe of you this morning, God. Lord, that by your word, God, you can show us, Lord, what you want us to see right now, God. And whatever path of life that we're in, Lord, whatever stage we may be in, God, I ask you to speak to every stage, oh God. Lord, touch every heart this morning, Lord. I ask you, God, help me get myself out of your way, Lord. Lord God, you know I don't have any abilities, oh God. I'm looking unto you, Lord. I ask you, God, speak words of fire this morning, Lord, that may burn the ropes of bondage. It may try to bind your people, oh God. Lord God, I ask you to burn within our hearts, Lord, of a living God among us, Lord. We love you, Father. We appreciate you, Lord. I'm looking unto you now, Father. I ask you, Lord, have your way, God. Deal with our hearts, Lord. Help us to let every thought that may try to hinder, Lord, may those things be pushed to the side now, that we focus on you now. In all things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you, saints. You can go ahead and let the musicians be seated if you'd like to. Sure appreciate the Spirit of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
It's just wonderful like to see all of our visitors this morning as well. Just the Lord. Just pray the Lord will speak to each of your hearts.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and go to Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8-9. I have a thought on my heart. I've had it on my heart for a while now, and it just keeps coming. And if I can give it to you the way that he gave it to me, it'd be a blessing for you.
Hallelujah.
I just ask God to have his way. Exodus chapter 1, verses 8-9. It says, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come now, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out of any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them out of the land." And then down to verse 11 says, "Therefore they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses."
Yes.
And let's just say one more short word.
Hallelujah.
Father, you know the thoughts of my heart now.
Yes,
I commit it to you right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak unto you a thought this morning, that footsteps is possession. I didn't wear a deal. I'm sorry, brother. I should have told you that. A lot of times I get tangled up in that little microphone that you wear, so I just got to stay right here. We want to speak on you on footsteps is possession. You know, it's shown in the scriptures here, it shows that the Hebrew children, there was a many of them, and Pharaoh had enough wisdom about him that he knew that unity is power. And he knew that if these Hebrew children got together very much, that they, the more stronger they are together, there's power in that. And that's
right.
You know, Satan still knows that. Pharaoh still knows
that.
Because where there's unity, there's power. And whether it be a home, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a church, where there's unity, there's power. Because where a house that's divided amongst itself, it can't stand.
Right.
And that's in a family, and that's in a church.
Yes, sir.
And you know, in a family, you know, the man is the head of the household.
Right.
And he's got to have a leadership about him where he'll walk in the Word and lead his family in that.
Right.
But see, and that's the same thing in a church. You got the ministry. They'll walk in the Word, and the church follows that.
Amen. Right. Right.
Where there's leadership, there's power. Where there's unity, there's power. And Pharaoh knew enough about this, and Pharaoh had a desire to bring a life of hardship and bondage upon the children of Israel. And he would bring all these afflictions upon them, and you know, he still does that today. Is that right?
Amen.
You know, he wants us to walk in this life of bondages and of different tasks and different things of having a master upon them. And you know, we all have different ones that we've come from. We have some that, like myself, that come from a taskmaster of alcoholism, where he'd have every day have that whip and whipping me with alcohol. Amen. He's got some people that come from a life of drugs, and he'd whoop you with that. And you know what? And no matter how hard you try to get away from it, he just fights you that much harder. You got some people that would even go to church, but yet they still were in bondages of chain and having a taskmaster
with a whip, whipping them with that constantly.
Right.
Amen.
Think about it. Right.
You know what? We've all had different kind of taskmasters.
Right.
And though we try to serve God, and though you try to live a good life, you've got an enemy that's got a whip, and he's constantly whipping you.
Right.
Is that the truth? Amen.
That's right.
You know what? We all have our own, whether it be depression, whether it be, oppression, whether it be all these different battles. You know the battle you fight. You know the devil you fight.
Yeah.
And they've got a whip in their hand, saints of God, and he wants to whip you constantly.
That's right.
And you know what? Pharaoh desired to have hardships upon the people.
Sure he did.
And we still do. And Pharaoh, he finally talked to the midwives, and he said, I want you to start taking every man child that's born, and I want you to throw them into the river. And Scripture says, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing, and you have saved the children of life? Because these women were supposed to take these women, their men children, and throw them into the river.
That's right.
You know, Pharaoh had a plan for the river for the children. God does too. He still does.
Right.
Amen. Baptism. Amen. He had a plan for the river. He wanted to throw them inside the river. And the midwives weren't doing this. And he came to the midwives and said, why are you not throwing them into the river? And they said, well, they're lively people. I think the bride of Christ is still lively this morning. Amen.
Yeah.
He said they're lively and said that they would have the babies before they could ever even get there. And I love that thought, saints of God. They gave birth to the man child before judgment come upon them. Amen.
Right.
Sounds like Revelation chapter 12, don't it?
Yeah.
You know what? But there come a time when he said, whenever that child is born, I want you to throw him in the river. But there was something on the inside of them. They would persevere and have that birth, amen,
right,
before judgment took place.
Yeah.
And I want to see births take place this morning.
Amen.
You know what? Because there's judgment coming upon the earth. Judgment coming all around us, but there's a birth that can take place this morning.
Amen.
You know what? And the Hebrew women were full of strength and character, and they gave birth to their man child before the judgment came.
Right.
And Moses had it in his heart whenever he was going to be born. They seen this man that was going to be born, and he was something different about him. He was a peculiar child, amen. And you know, and as I said, that Moses had a plan for this river, and he had full intention of throwing these men into the river. His babies in the river, and Moses was born, and lo and behold, the same water that he wanted to drown the children was the same waters that God preserved Moses. Amen.
Right.
And Moses was preserved. And I just want to stop right here, right now. If you've got a bad attitude in this service, stop it right now.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Because
right.
You know what? I can feel it all the way up here. You know what? That's I come right. here this morning to have church.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
You know what? I spent my time in prayer. I spent my time seeking God. Other people have spent their
come
time.
On. Come on.
Come on, church. Let's have church.
That's
morning.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You know what? If we're going to come to church, let's do this thing. Let's worship God and serve God.
That's right.
You know what? When I lived in the world, when I was going to go to a party, I was going to be the life of the party. You know what? I'm going to be the best I can be.
That's right.
When I come to church, praise God, let's worship God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Let's get going. Church,
amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
You know what? Moses, he was on the river, going down the river.
Come on now.
He had alligators, everything going to come to take away his deliverance. You know what? Because we all have a need of deliverance from time to time. Is that right?
Amen.
And you know what? Whenever you go to pray and you say, God, I need deliverance. These children of Israel were in bondage and chains, but
come
they began
now.
To sigh and cry unto God.
Oh,
and God was going to send them deliverance. And you know what? It might be some minister from some far off, and he might be going through alligators and everything else.
Right.
But you know what? Right. God's going to keep his hand upon that man.
Hallelujah.
Because that's God delivering.
Yes, sir.
Not the man, God. God is
your deliverer.
Amen.
You know what? And you know, the deliverer come, and Moses, you know, he rose right up in Egypt, right under Pharaoh. And you know what? He comes with great strength, great knowledge, great wisdom. From our standpoint, that's the time, Moses. Go and deliver the children of Israel. Now your muscles are strong, Moses. Now you're great, Moses.
Nope.
But you know what?
On,
he tried, it didn't work, did it?
Come on, try.
He seen an Egyptian out there, and Moses, full of strength, full of might, killed an Egyptian because he seemed spot one of his fellow men. Killed the man.
Come on now.
But you know what? Moses had a desire to be a deliverer for his brothers.
True that.
Do we still feel that way, saints of God?
Amen.
You have a desire to see your brothers and sisters delivered from the bondage of sin?
Amen.
I do, brothers and sisters. I want to see God delivered.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know, and Moses ended up leaving Egypt. And you know what? But these things are footsteps of possession. Mm-hmm. And I want to stop here and want you to remember something. Successes are temporal. Growth is forever.
Right.
You know, successful, you may have been successful 3 weeks ago, but what about today? Amen?
Right.
But growth, that's what I want, saints of God. What have I grown from the things I'm going through? Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
So whether you're on a mountaintop or the valley, well, let's get some growth this morning. Amen?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, Moses ended up leaving Egypt, and he's seen these women and shepherds coming over and trying to take the water from them. Moses still had a desire inside him to be a deliverer.
Right.
And he went right off the bed and put the whooping on them shepherds. Amen. I like to hear about good whoopings. I like the good ones. I don't like the bad ones. That was a good whooping he gave them shepherds. And you know what? He brought a deliverance for them. You know, once Egypt, he found himself being a deliverer again. And I want something I'm going to show you here. As a man can run from God, but he still reflects the character of Christ. Did you ever notice that?
Yes, it is.
You can try to run from God. You can say, I'm not going to do it, I ain't going to do it, but get by yourself for just a little while. Where's your mind start going back to?
Yeah.
It starts going to God.
That's
you know
right.
what? You can be going right. down the road. You can say, I don't believe the message. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe none of it. You'll be going down the road, and the next thing you know, you're singing an old gospel hymn. Why in the world am I doing this? Because you're the Son of God. That's my
right.
Amen.
That's right.
You know what? You go through this life,
that's
and
right.
you know what? Even whether it's alcohol, you go to drinking alcohol, what's your mind start going to? You start thinking about God. You know it's the truth. I know it's the truth.
Come on
the same
out.
Thing I did. You talk about the biggest preacher when he was drunk. That was me. They called me Preacher Dan because you know what? Before I come to the Lord, there's something burning on the inside. And everybody's around me. I was talking about the God and how great God was. They said, well, he's so great. Why are you in bondage? I'd start crying. I was miserable because I was a son of God in chains.
That's right.
That's right, brothers and sisters. We can try to run from God, it won't work.
Right.
You'll get so miserable, you'll get so empty because you'll have a hole on the inside
right.
and you're trying to fill that thing up with anything you can. Alcohol, whatever it may be, religion.
Right.
That's right.
Come on,
saints of God.
Right.
Religion. You mean you can go to church and worship for a little bit and it may fill it for just a little bit, but what about during the week?
Come on.
Amen. Many times people will say that they're waiting on just the right moment in life for their changing move. Let's say, you know what? I will give my heart to the Lord when this happens. And when it happens, I'm going to step right into it and things will start changing.
Come on. Work that way.
You know, whether it be a financial change, you say, you know what? I'm waiting for my big moment when it comes. I'm going to step into that moment when it happens. And you sit there and wait and sit there and wait and sit there and wait. 47 years later, and you're still sitting there waiting.
Right, brother.
57 more years later, I'm sitting here waiting, and for too long, you're 114 years old, and you're too old to do anything.
Right.
Come on, you know what I'm talking
brother.
About. You're telling yourself, I'll wait for this certain moment to take place, and then when that takes place, I'll step into that, and then I'll make my changes.
Right.
Sometimes you have to make changes happen.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
you have to make times happen. Is that right?
Right.
The children of Israel could have sit there stomping in the mud nonstop and never cried, never sighed, sat there and say, I'm waiting for my moment. Walking in your bondage, you know the devil that whoops you all the time. You know the devil that whips you, and they're all different. Some of them are the same, but most of them are different. You know what? You're in your behind your taskmaster and you're marching in your mud and you've got this thing whooping you nonstop. And you can say, you know what? This year probably going to be a little different.
Come on now.
You're just stomping in your mud and you got your whooping every time you start slowing down. 10 more years goes by, you ain't progressed in God. You ain't grown in God. You're still fighting the same devil you fought when you first got started. You're just sitting in the mud. Come on. Let's be honest this morning. You know what? You're sitting there in the mud and you're fighting and you're allowing the same devil run your life that's started from day one.
That's right.
And he's got that whip and he's whipping you constantly. And you may go for a little while because I'm living good, devil. I'm marching good and he ain't whipping you. Let off a little bit.
That's right.
Let off a little bit and that old whip will start cracking again. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. As long as you're doing that bondage that you're in.
That's right.
As long as you're caught up in that bondage, you don't feel the wrath of the whip. But let off of a little bit. Start living godly for a little bit, and you'll start feeling that whip again.
That's right.
Because you're in bondage. But yeah. You know what? They can sit there and say, I'm waiting for my moment. I'm waiting for it. But there was finally a time something on the inside of them rose up and said, I will sigh and cry until God sends me a deliverer out of this. I will sigh and I will cry until God sends me a preacher that will speak exactly what I'm going through. Right. I'll sigh and cry until God addresses my needs specifically. You know what? You can do that.
Amen.
Right.
You can go into a service where a preacher's preaching something completely different and you can pull him completely off his text.
That's exactly right.
Right to where you're at. That's why
exactly
we should
right.
never, Amen. Ever, ever have a service where we say God didn't move.
That's
if we
right.
didn't move, you didn't pull.
That's right.
So I'm telling you, if
right.
you pull,
right.
God will address your need exactly
That's
where
exactly
it is.
Right.
Sometimes it's so close, it hurts.
Right.
I remember one time
right.
we was at Louisiana camp and I was fighting some battles and I was doing some pulling because I wanted God to deal with my heart, dress my need specifically. God, deal with my heart specifically what I'm going through. And all these people inside this, about 500 people there. And that brother starts preaching. He starts preaching. And he starts preaching. And I'm about right here. Hey, but I'm about in the middle of the road. He keeps preaching. He keeps preaching. He said, and some people want to just sit in your seat. And they don't want to worship the Lord. Like, okay, God. Sometimes God gets real close.
Yeah, come on, brother.
Sometimes he'll get right back in your tater hatch. And
right.
Without a doubt, if people were looking, they know he was talking to.
Amen.
And but think about this, somebody can say, well, Brother Tim was, it'd be just for him.
Right.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
God knows what you're doing.
You know what? I'm tired of seeing people that will sit and march in the mud when God sent a deliverer to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. God sent us deliverer, we can be free of those things.
That's right.
And Moses, whenever he ended up going back and to the back of the wilderness, and he ended up getting with this woman by the name of Zipporah. And I heard she's a woman of a bit of a temper.
Yeah. Right.
And Moses had a bit of a temper. You take a man that's got a temper, God knows exactly how to get that right where it needs to be. He'll get a woman with just enough temper to bring her right back. And sometimes she's 4'9". For those on the internet, maybe you're hearing, my wife is 4'9". God knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
You know what? He with somebody on the side, I can see one of Zipporah's sisters saying, oh my Lord, fireworks are fixing to happen on the backside of that desert.
Amen.
I can just imagine all the heated discussions took place between them.
Wow.
You know, because Moses was tempered, she was tempered. And when you get two people that got temper, boy, it's just wonderful. God knows how to bring us where we need to be.
Yeah, he does.
That's right.
But through this time, Moses, he had come to an experience where he finally come and met God face to face in the pillar of fire. Amen.
That's right.
He went before this pillar of fire, and he says, Moses, take off your feet because you're on holy ground. You know what? It wasn't the holy mountain.
Come on, brother.
It was the Holy God.
Yeah, that's it.
Man.
That's it.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings.
That's right.
You know, they talk about when I go on the mountain where Brother Brenham was, and I felt such a wonderful anointing. Well,
yeah.
Praise the Lord if you did.
That's right.
But from what I've seen that, it's the Holy God, not the Holy Mountain.
That's what it
Amen.
Is. That's
right.
it.
And it's not holy people, it's the Holy God in the people.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, whenever he met God face to face, it changed him, saints of God.
That's right.
It changed him because he met God face to face. And that's what we need to do this morning. We need to examine ourselves and say, have I met God face to face?
Right.
I've heard about it. I've heard people talk about it. I've even talked about it. But have I really met God? Have I really met him face to face? I'm going to tell you something. It'll change you.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm going to skip through some things. And I wanted to get a lot further this than time.
Plenty of time.
When Moses ended up going back, saints of God, he began to see these children of Israel in bondage. And he goes, and remember Moses, God told him, he said, don't worry about how good you can speak, because I've got someone that's going to speak for you. Your brother Aaron's going to speak for you. And he goes and tells these people, hey, God sent me to deliver you guys. I want you to think about this. We have an 80-year-old man. He was 40 years old whenever he was at his success. And he was so intelligent, he was ready to fight. 40 years, God beat that stuff out of him.
Right.
And I've heard a lot of people say, I would read the Bible, but I'm just not very good at reading.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
Help us, Lord.
But you know what? We talked about this the other night during Bible study. The Apostle Paul said many times, it's not, I didn't receive this stuff by intellections.
That's right.
He said, I didn't receive it by that. I didn't receive that because if there's anybody that has bragging rights on saying, I know the Scripture, I do. The Apostle Paul.
Amen. Yeah, come on, that's right.
What do you think about this? Yes, Paul was raised up under tutors where he was
right.
The best of the best.
That's right, brother.
Paul knew the Scriptures better than anybody.
Yes, he did.
But even Paul, whenever he was on the road to Damascus, he was going to kill Christians.
Right.
He met a pillar of fire.
Right.
Just like our, I stopped saying, Brother Brown, living the same way.
It's all right, brother.
Just like Moses.
Come on.
And when Paul seen this, tell me what you think about this. This was a man that was so smart. He was so intellectual. But when he met the pillar of fire, he counted all as dumb.
Right, brother.
Everything he ever knew.
That's right.
And he knew right then, you know what? I need to go and get by myself and study this and see if it's right myself. And for 3 years, the Apostle Paul went to Arabia and studied the Scriptures. I would people would do that. Because you know what? That's why so many people have been so tore away from the message is they never studied it themselves.
That's right.
That's right.
They never studied themselves. Because if you'll study it yourself, read the Scripture and see it ain't nothing but the truth.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, I heard of one of the sermons that Brother Ben Beard preached on the Friday night. That brother spoke something, and I'll tell you, I shouted so loud in the shop, everybody knew about it. And he said, you know what, so many people want to get them to the message, but you never get them to Christ.
That's right.
Amen. That's the truth. Because you know what? Brother Branham don't mean nothing to nobody if you don't.
Come on.
It's Scriptures, brothers and sisters.
That's it.
And I'll tell you something, those children of Israel, when they begin to sigh and cry unto God, God sent them a deliverer. And when God sent them a deliverer, friends, he does it right.
Right.
Good, brother.
But you got Moses with his wiggly arms and big beard. And myself, and I've said this many times, when I think of a deliverer, especially when I was a young boy like Elijah's age or Ben's age, when I thought of a deliverer, I was thinking of a guy that had big old muscles. You know, big old neck.
Come on, think about it.
Big old authority. But here come a man, when he swung his staff around, his arm kept swinging even after it stopped. Amen. You ever seen someone do that? Their arm just goes, I would think of someone that was great and tough. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. They're expecting this great deliverer. We've been sighing and crying. God sent us a deliverer. And we get Moses. And this old guy, he says, I'm here, guys. I'm here to take over.
Come on,
he's
brother.
Walking like that, and he's got that staff, and I can see on, somebody brother. Looking come over on. There with their intellectual thinking. My Lord. I seek for a deliverer, and I get Moses.
Come on,
I brother. Pray, and I seek for God to send me a deliverer, and I get Brother Daniel. My God, what's he doing? Because God will take the absolute ridiculous and he'll do something out of that because he'll get glory out of that. Amen.
That's right. By his glory.
So Moses, he went up there and he told them, he said, I'm with you. I'm telling you something. God sent me and he gave me these signs and these are the way I know God's with me. And let's follow this. And you know what? They began to unify under that. And they began to follow God's deliverer, the God's message that God gave them.
Right.
And what happened was, you ever notice when you start taking a step toward God, everything in the world starts going wrong?
Come on, brother.
Think about that.
Right.
You know, you'll go and you'll hear a preacher speak, and you may go to the altar and you'll pray, and you say, you know what, I'm going to seek God. I'm in a revival. And then you wake up the next morning and everything in the world that could go wrong is going wrong. Why? Look at these children of Israel. They began to unify under that, Brother Tony. And Pharaoh said, you know what? You've got too much idle time. You ever notice that's one thing we fight for more than anything is time?
Yeah,
that's right.
Time. We've got microwaves. We've got dishwashers. We've got cars that go up to 80 miles an hour, hoping nobody does that unless it's the speed limit. We've got all these different things to make life easier, and we still ain't got no time.
Come on, brother.
Come on. Think about it.
Come on, brother. Think about it.
Sometimes, you know, I think it'd do some good to just start going through the house and doing a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Get things out of the house. You know what? It's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but how much time does it take?
That's right.
Come on.
You know what? We've got things. I've got my phone. I don't have it on me right now. That's the most wonderful thing in the world. I can literally be going down the road and hit one button, and I can say, Spirit, Truth, Assembly. it'll pull it right up. I can hit a sermon, it'll start playing. I'll hit voice, I'll say Voice of God recordings. Hit it, it'll go to audio deal. I can hit it with one button, one finger. I can push it, and I've got me a sermon playing.
Right.
And I can sit there and listen to that. That is absolutely wonderful. I love that. I'm still rocking that. But you can take that same phone. Come on.
Come on now.
And you can look at everything, whatever you want to look at, with the exact same phone.
Right. Sure.
Speak the same word. You can hit the word and speak the word. And you can have anything you want on that.
That's right.
You can use that as that thing to get you closer to God, or you can use that to drag you straight to the pits of hell.
That's right. That's the truth, amen.
That's right.
Whether it be gossip, whether it be filth, whether it be anything, whether it just be time consuming. God, I know what I'm talking about.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Truth.
They're a wonderful thing, but it can be a dangerous thing.
That's right. She can.
And something about the kiddos having these things.
Oh, that's right.
I'm telling you what, it's like giving them a razor blade.
That's right.
Come on, brother.
It's just like giving them a razor blade and saying, Dad, I was in there shaving here the other day, and I don't have much to shave. I've got this right here, and I've got about five hairs. It may be a little bit more in it, but it's pretty ridiculous. And me and brother, we went to this Ohio camp here a while back, and me and brother Tony and the boys were in the van. We're talking about, could you imagine if you had to grow the beard like that? And brother Brian Milton, just being the funny guy he was, he said, I would, they think I had mange. Because he said, I've got hair just bit, you know, that hits everywhere. And I said, brother, I'm all right with you. And if I go without shaving for a couple of days, it'll look, a little bit thinner than this. But they'll say, oh, try to grow a goatee. I said, no, I shouldn't shave. Because my hair grows like that. But I was in there shaving the other morning. I was cutting it. Little Elijah, or Malachi, come in there. And he wants to shave. He said, Daddy, what are you doing? I said, I'm shaving. He said, well, I want to shave too. And you know what? It could have been a funny thing to sit there and put that shaving cream all over him and put a stroke in like that. But I'd be crazy to give him a razor blade.
Think about it.
I'd be crazy. That poor boy could cut himself, hurt himself with best intentions.
That's right.
Best intentions.
There it is. There it is.
Because he'd know, he'd say, Daddy does it. And if Daddy can do it, I can do it.
Right.
Daddy knows how to handle the razor blade most of the time. I don't cut myself very much anymore. But you know what? With best intentions, I could give him that razor, and with best intentions in his mind, he could cut himself and hurt himself severely.
Right.
And you know what? That's the same thing with the multimedias of today.
Right.
And all these different things. With best of intention, that child can cut themselves to pieces. And they'll be scarred for a long time.
Right. Amen. That's right. Exactly right.
Let's think about those things.
It's good, brother. It's good.
You know what? Because you know what? Those things can be so harmful.
Yes, they can.
And you look in homes. And I'm going to say these things, and I hope you don't hate me.
Go ahead, brother.
Television, you know, is something that Brother Brenham spoke so clearly about and hammered it just as straight as can possibly be. Why in the world are television still in the homes?
Right.
Come on, brothers and sisters.
Right.
I've seen video. There are video movies that me and the kids have watched together. Like watch the movie Courageous and different ones you can watch as a family. I'm going to show you something. Something like that, it may not necessarily drag you to the pits of hell, but it ain't going to give you rapture of faith.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
There's a little thing called balance.
Right.
You know what? And you can have so much where you have good intentions, right? Nothing wrong with it.
Right. Come on now.
But you can get so caught up into those things, the next thing you know, you spent 4 hours sitting on a television.
Exactly right.
And you ain't spent two minutes in prayer and listening to a sermon.
Exactly right. It's true.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, tell it, brother.
You hear that whip?
Yeah.
Go ahead and preach it.
Because you know what? I fought the same devil you guys fought.
That's right.
So I'm going to tell you something. I've got the same old ugly dude. Mine may be a little uglier than yours, but I fought the same one like you guys do.
That's right, brother.
Because this guy desires pleasure. He desires attention. And though by looking in my face, you sure couldn't tell it. But you know what? I've got the same devil you do.
That's right.
And you think about that, whether you be a deacon, whether you be a preacher, whether you be yourself a piano player, whether you be a guitar player, whether you be someone that sits in the pew, we still fight the same devil.
That's right. Exactly right.
And you know what? I'm talking about the devils that have fought us, that we've been fighting since day one, and they're still whipping us.
That's right.
As long as you give just a little bit, he lets off that whip. But as soon as you start saying, you know what? I am not going to be listening to this. I want you to listen to this.
Come on now.
I am not going to spend this much time on reading TV.
Come on.
I'm not going to spend this much time on multimedia. I'm not going to spend this much time doing these things.
Come on now.
Before you know it, that whip will start whipping. And you'll start fighting everything in the world. These children of Israel, they begin to listen to God. They begin to listen. You know what? God sent me a deliverer. You know what? That's the truth. Moses, or Pharaoh said, you know what? You got too much idle time. From now on, you go get your own straw.
That's right. That's what he did.
From now on, you go out there and don't you let that diminish one brick.
That's right. That's right, brother.
Do you think it was hard at first whenever they had straw right there that they could work with? And having someone whooping them. Imagine going out and having to look for your own straw now and still got someone whooping you.
Right.
I've had some bosses like that before. Well, a few times. Little David knows what I'm talking about. I call him Little David. I should call him Big David now. He's bigger than I am. We used to work at a rock quarry. We were younger. We wanted school clothes, by golly. And we knew the way we was going to get them and go work for them. Me and Little David went out there. We was digging rocks out of the ground. Throwing him over there, and we had no taskmaster, and he may as well had a whip. Meanest old man you ever seen in your life. Overalls, and he tells us, says, hurry up, boys, you're waiting, you're wasting way too much time. And we're just pouring sweat. Yes, sir, boss. we're grabbing these rocks and throwing them up here. Taskmasters.
Yeah.
Taskmasters. You know something? That's in a leadership role. You can be a taskmaster, or you can be a leader.
That's right.
You know what? You can, and talking to mothers right now, I want to stop you right here at mothers. Talking about children, cleaning rooms, and different things like that. Mm-hmm. You can be a taskmaster, or you can be a leader.
That's right.
A taskmaster, well, you whip the far out of them, but you don't give them no leadership.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. My wife, she looks at me, and she does a good job with the kids. I'm not trying to put her on the pedestal today. Yeah, nothing like that. But my wife, you know, she said it simply amazes her because it's time my turn to clean the house. You know, she's gone for the day. Them kids are sitting there, got their feet propped up. They're laying back with their head back against a pillow and think daddy's going to clean the house. You got another thing going. Daddy comes to the house and you get up, you get your room clean, you get up, you grab the vacuum cleaner, you get up, you start doing laundry, you pull the dryer out, you refill the washer. Daddy's going to orchestrate, by golly. You're not going to sit on daddy. You know what? Come on, mothers. Let's orchestrate. Don't let them sit there with their feet propped up. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, you sisters may hate me after this, but you know what? If you let a daughter go through her life where she don't clean house, she don't do laundry, and she don't help cook, that's going to be a lazy housewife.
That's right.
That's the truth.
That's right.
You take a son that won't get out and mow the yard, you take a son that won't get out and do what he's got to do, that's a young man that will grow his whole life to be just like that. He'll have a yard that tall, and he won't go to work. He won't get up and do nothing.
Okay.
Because those are good taskmasters, and there's a good taskmaster.
Right.
That's something they want to take away from today, a good old women. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord, I don't have to whoop my kids very often anymore. But you better believe when they do, they know they didn't have. And same thing with preachers. People do not want to be corrected no more.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
They'll tell me, you know what? You put them in the corner. Put Johnny in the corner, and all these different things, because whipping will mess his mind up for years. If you beat him, it will. I'm not talking about beat him. I'm talking about whip his hind end.
Right, brother.
Come on, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Because you know what? It worked pretty good for me.
Come on now.
Amen. How many of you had whipping when you were younger? How many of you got a lot of whipping when you were younger? Amen. Me and little David would be sitting in the bathtub. We used to take baths together when we were younger. Sitting there, and he said, you know what? We had a whooping all day. And about that moment, Daniel Christopher, David Lee, what? Get in here. Taskmasters. We've got good taskmasters, and we've got bad taskmasters.
Right, that's right, bro.
And saints of God, I don't want to get so much on the joking side, but I sure like to see you smile every once in a while. You know what? When you're going through things, saints of God, if you're fighting the same old devil that you've been marching for all this time, don't sit here and think just marching is going to get it done because it ain't.
Right.
You start sighing and crying out to God, and you say, God, I'm sick of fighting this old devil. I've been fighting it since day one. God will send you a deliverer. I believe He sent us this morning.
That's right.
If you'll receive it.
That's right.
So why? Because you can go your whole life with a phone and still be fighting the same old devil. Yeah.
I felt that like a lightning bolt when I said that about television. I mean, I stuck mine in out there like, I'd be careful with that. But how many of you know I'm telling you the truth?
Amen. That's right.
I've got a tablet that I've got. It's got the Galaxy tablet. I bought that thing to study the sermon and study everything. But you know what? I come to a point, I put myself on parole. I found myself where I was spending more time not doing bad stuff, but
no,
just tiddling. Because you've got so many apps and gadgets, I can speak to it. I hit a button, I was like, Galaxy, who was the president of such and such year? The president was.
Right.
You know, speak that.
That's right.
And people come by and say, you got to watch this. Galaxy, what is this? Nothing bad.
That's right.
But you know what? I was just straight out peddling. And I said, you know what? I am not doing this. I close that thing up, put it inside of its case, and say, you know what? Until I see myself being more in time with the Word and see myself more time. You ever heard of that? Someone grabbed themselves.
That's right.
I think what I need to do.
That's
good.
That's
right.
I said, you know what? Until I can see myself and pray more and myself seeing the Word of God more,
that
is not coming out of the case. And God's my witness, that dude stayed in the case about a month. Wouldn't pull it out. Because you know what? I seen it taking my blessing. There's blessings that we can have if we'll just do it the right way.
That's right. Amen.
If we'll focus it the right way.
That's it, bro.
I think we need a good old fashioned grounding. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And you know what your God is. Everyone's different.
That's right, bro.
Some girls may do their hair. They could probably sit there for hours. I don't think mine would. I hate hair. I say that now, and I go bald, but I'll probably like it again. My daughter, she hates it. But you know what? Girls' things may be completely different than what Brother Daniel's fight is.
That's right.
You know what I'm getting at is you know what your fight is.
You're on. That's right.
You know yourself what takes up your time.
That's right.
Duck Dynasty. My kids love them people, and I have no idea how in the world they know what they do. We was going down the other day, and Malachi said, Uncle Si. I said, what? You don't even have an Uncle Si. And Mickey said, it's that Duck Dynasty thing. I said, oh my Lord. They come in the other day, and Vicky brought in some cups, teacups, and had a picture of some guy with a beard on it. And I said, who is that? And she said, it's Si. She said, I got him at a yard sale. $2. You know what? Those guys, I don't know what all they promote. Some of it may be good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, it's starting to be a little bit more on idolizing.
I know.
Come on. You go through there, it's everywhere.
That's right, man.
You got the side cups. You've got the place. They've got pictures of them everywhere. They're hanging up everywhere and all these different things. I think they're right on the borderline, brothers and sisters.
Come on, now.
Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Like I say, I don't know what all they stand for. I've seen like a little short clip of one where they was in a cop car or something. I don't know much about them.
Come on,
but little things like that, brothers and sisters, I think is taking our blessings away from us. We need a good old-fashioned fasting tool. Brother Tony preached something one time I'll never forget. He said, you want to see if something's wrong, if something's got a bondage over you, get away from it.
That's it. Exactly right.
That's right.
That's true.
You get away from that for just a little bit,
and
you start feeling them claws digging at you, and you start getting irritable because you ain't had your fix of Duck Dynasty.
You ain't had
your fix of television. You ain't had your fix of watching something good.
Right.
Something good.
Come on. Come on.
It's Hallmark. It's okay.
Come on now.
Come on, brothers and sisters. May they say amen. You know it's the truth anyhow.
Give your time.
That's right.
It's Walt Disney. It's okay. It's clean. There's nothing wrong with it. See, they set God right there. Amen.
Come on now.
Let's do a good old-fashioned house clean.
Oh, that's right.
I'm talking about in the home where mom and daddy get together and pray again with the children.
That's right, bro.
We had the kids last night. We were sitting there. We were singing together. We were praying. That's a wonderful thing. They had their little games that they could be playing. But you know what? I enjoyed more of that 15 minutes of singing and praising. And Brother Tony said something the other day. And I'm going to put it on you. He ain't going to buy it. Who will commit with me, as Brother Tony did and the saints that were here the other night, said, you know what? I will dedicate 15 to 30 minutes every day. God.
Who's going to commit
that? That's good, brother.
I'm going to commit that.
Good.
I'm going to commit that, brothers and sisters. Exactly. 15, it should be way more than that, but let's start
with
15.
Come on.
Let's start with 15 to 30 minutes.
Oh, my help, Lord, that's right.
It's a proven fact that you can do the simple exercise for 15 to 30 minutes every day, and you won't believe the difference it'll make in your body.
That's exactly right. Exactly
health
right.
problems, that's because you won't get sick near as much, and Lord knows I don't need that no more. It's like I fought every sickness possible. 15 to 30 minutes every day.
Good, brother.
If you'll just do a little bit of exercise for 15 to 30 minutes good, every day, amen. The difference in this physical body is absolutely unbelievable.
That's right.
Take that spiritually. 15 to 30 minutes, you're going to start. You know what? I'm going to start seeking God now. 15 to 30 minutes. You start right there and see if things are changing. Start changing.
That's good.
Because you know what will start happening? You start working out for 15 to 30 minutes in the physical, them big old fat ribs that we like, with juice hanging off of them, it will make you sick. You know why? Because you know what you're going to endure next time you go to your 15 to 30 minutes. Come on.
Yeah.
When you spend 15 to 30 more minutes in prayer and you're seeking God and you see that juicy sin sitting out there, you ain't going to want to do it no more because you know what I'm thinking to endure in the next 15, 30 minutes. I go spend a time in prayer. You know what I'm fixing to endure whenever, because you know what? You have to do a good old house cleaning every time. And have you ever noticed, the more you stay prayed up, the more you stay studied up in the Word of God, the less whippings you take?
That's right. Exactly right.
That's right.
I'm serious. The more we spend in prayer, the more you study, the more you seek God, the less whippings you have. I found out, for the most part, even when I was growing up, I never received a whipping I never deserved. There was quite a few that I was wondering about. But for the most part, you know what? Whenever I was pure and just listened to what and done what I was told, I never got a whooping. And children of Israel, they were with Moses, and I'm trying to come to the end of where we're going to be. They began to listen to Moses, and Moses was a deliverer, amen.
Right.
And as they began to listen to Moses, they brought bondage upon themselves, all these different things, and God began to send plagues upon Egypt. And Pharaoh would say, you know what, let them go. And God would harden his heart. Now you would think that whenever I am trying to take a step toward God, that God would just make it just as easy as can be. How many thought that? You know what, when I begin to serve God, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be peace. I thought, lie, you're going to start fighting devils. But it's worth it. You know what, they began to fight and they put more bondage upon the children of Israel and they'd stay true to God. Until finally there come the time whenever they were going to leave Egypt. I want you to think about this. When they began to finally leave Egypt, when Pharaoh sent them out, he said, just get out. Get out of here. I want the devil to say that to us. Amen. You know what? You've been talking about this body change. Just get out. I'm sick and tired of dealing with you. Every time I try to put something on you, you don't fall for it. They began to go out there and there was nothing between them but the river. And during this time, brothers and sisters, they were ready to go back. Ask yourself, you know what? When you start going through trials, how quick does this old guy want to go back? You know what? We were better off where we were. I was better off eating garlic. I was better off doing these other things. They were so ready to go back. And the reason is they had Egypt in their heart still.
That's it.
They still had Egypt in their heart. No matter how many times God had magnified in their lives, they were ready to go back.
Think about it.
But God, whenever God began to work through Moses and he parted those waters, and Scripture says it was all night long, the water. You know, a movie like the Ten Commandments might look like just like that. And as I was studying this, I was looking at how the people were trying to discredit the Bible. And what I'm saying was like 2 inches of water is what they crossed. It wasn't a big river. It was 2 inches of water. Now, could you imagine all of them soldiers and horses and all of these chariots drowning in 2 inches of water? And they say they're the smart ones. But you know what? Moses stood there and he separated them waters, and then children of Israel began to go by, and they still had in their mind burnt their taskmaster. They had whipped them so long.
That's right.
Because you know what? They begin to believe, I have to accept these things. And this is the point I want to get to. Footsteps is possession. We can come to a point where you say, this is just the way it has to be. This is just the way it has to be in the message. This is just the way it has to be in a revival. I'm up for a little while and I'm down for a little while. We begin to think this is just the way it has to be. It ain't the way it has to be.
That's right, brother.
It ain't, brothers and sisters. We can put our feet and start possession. Yeah. And he said, you know what? No more.
That's right.
This ain't happening to me no more. If everybody else wants to follow, then I'm not going to.
That's it, brother.
Amen? You right. Say, you know what? I'm committing myself that I'm not going to go through the same old loop that I've been going in. And they had that water split up, and then children of Israel were coming through, and here come that same old devil that had been whipping them for so long. And he had that whip, the same whip he'd been whipping with all this time. He began to just coming, and the chariots coming toward them. And you know, they got right in the same water. And God destroyed every single one of them. Amen?
Yes.
And while they were doing that, I can imagine that they stood there, if it would have been Tim. He can remember all those times. They'd say, sing, Tim! Whoop him with the whip. All them years that Tim Lane was trying to serve God and the old devil. Sing, Tim! Sing while they march. Whether it be alcohol, whatever depression it may be, that the devil that's in the head you and whipping you, whether it be television, whatever it may be that's whipping you. And them waters begin to close up, brothers and sisters. I can imagine they can see that ugly face that one time whipped them. But can't do it no more. Scripture says that they will never do this again.
That's it.
Amen. They'll never do this again. But you know what? They had to come to a stand. They could have stayed on that side of the river. They could have stayed and said and went back to Egypt and said, you know what? It wasn't that bad to begin with. I'm going to go ahead and go back. It wasn't bad. I could go back to just living a good life. I could go back to just going to church, just normal casual church. I'm so tired of that.
Right.
I'm tired of it, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, come on.
If we'll come together in unity and say, you know what? We ain't standing for this no more. No, and you see loved ones that are out there in the world that are bound. We don't have to stand for that, brothers and sisters.
Right.
We can stand to our feet and say, footsteps is possession. I'm claiming them. I'm claiming them. The word says I can claim them. I'm claiming them.
That's right.
Sicknesses that's coming on top of us, I'm claiming it.
Right.
I'm claiming it. I'm not going to put up with it no more.
That's right.
Arthritis, I'm not going to settle for it no more.
Right.
Come on. Depression, I'm not going to stand for it no more.
Right.
You know the devil you fight. You know the battles that you fight yourself. Stand this morning and say, you know what? I ain't putting up with it no more.
That's right.
I wonder how emotional and how great they felt about going across this river when they seen that water going up. You think that they said, woohoo, let's go. It's clear. I want you to think about that. That water was way, way, way up on this side and way up on that side. And they're supposed to walk across here on dry land. Though that's a great miracle. If I was right now to take you over to the Arkansas River and I was to split that water up just like that, how quick would you be ready to walk right there in the middle of it? Come on, think about it. You're going through there, I hear at Kerr Lake, they've got catfish the size of cars. You hear all the stories and everything. And if I was to take you up the Arkansas River and split them waters right now and say, all right, church, let's go. You got the water. How many of you? Who's going to be the first one following me? Richard says, I will.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother. So what? It's going. There's part. I say, all right, let's go, Brother Tony. Go ahead, brother. Right behind you, brother.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on now, brother.
Right.
God has plugged the waters that people be so afraid because you're afraid the water's going to collapse on you.
That's right. That's right, brother.
And you got a preacher saying, you know what? These bondages you've been fighting all this time, the waters are parted this morning. Start walking. And you know what you're thinking to yourself? As soon as brother and so does it, I'll be right behind you.
Come on. Come on.
But you know what I'm telling you? Footsteps is possession. And you know what? If you will take that and say, you know what, God? If you've done it for anybody else in anything, if I'll go to that same approach, you have to do it for me too.
That's it, brother.
You've got to.
Will.
You've
will.
Got to do it for me too.
Yeah.
And you take God at His word, He
right.
has to meet that need. He
that's
has
right.
to.
That's right.
Has to.
He does.
I'm fighting probably one of the biggest battles I've ever fought in my life right now. And this little guy right here. But you know what? It's in the river. I'm leaving that dude in the river today. Footsteps is possession.
Right.
I'm leaving it behind. Amen.
Man.
It's good.
Whatever battle you've got, you say, you know what? I have been fighting this. Nobody knows about it, but I know what I'm fighting. I'm put in the river this morning.
I'm leaving it in the river this morning. Let's leave it there, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Leave it there in the river. No, if it's depression, whether it's gossip, if you've got a problem with gossiping, let's put that in the river this morning. Amen. Amen. You know what? The times whenever you're in a worship service and you know you want to raise your hand and you want to praise the Lord, but you just won't do it. Something keeps telling you, you can't do that. Look what you just did.
Moment.
Let's put it in the river this morning.
Yes, that's right.
No, when you go to service sometimes, and you want to get in service, you want to hear what's preached, you want to do those things, but your mind can't seem to stay concentrated on the service. Amen.
Yeah.
I fought the same devil you guys did. Let's leave it in the river this morning. As long as they listen to their prophet, what God sent them, they stayed out of trouble. As soon as they quit listening, they got in trouble. Soon. Why can't they just listen to what the prophet said? The prophet told us that there's a way that there's a provided way that God can do things for us.
Right.
And I've told you the provided way this morning of whatever battle you're fighting. Let's commit those things to God this morning. Let's bow our heads. As I said a while ago, Brother Chen, if you want to confront, you're welcome to, brother. Just come. You know what? The battles that we fight, they're different. And everyone's got their own battle that you've been fighting. And you know what? Whether it be your home life, whether it be your prayer life, you know what your battle is. I'm going to ask you to put it in the river this morning. Footsteps is possession this morning. You know what? Because God is doing something in this bride. You know what? I've talked to different ministers that are around, and it's not just here. It's everywhere. Everyone I talk to, it's the same thing. But God is doing something right now, and I want to be a part of the saints of God. And whatever it is that's hindering me, if there's a taskmaster that's on you that keeps whipping you, and you say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this no more, why don't you put that in the river this morning? Myself, my greatest battle that I fought before I come to the Lord was alcohol. It was my greatest battle. And I would do good, go a few days, and not have a single drink. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm so drunk, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I want to tell you something. The same God that took that thing from me can do it this morning if you're fighting that battle. Depression is a battle that I've had to fight my life. But you know what? I finally come to a point where I said, you know what? I can't do this alone. I need help. I put that in the river, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You know the battles you're fighting. With every head bowed, I want to ask you, if you got something right now, they say, you know what, I've got something I want to put in the river this morning. Won't you raise your hand? And God sees your hands. I've got things that I want to put in the river, saints of God. That old taskmaster that's been whipping me for years, I'm putting him in the river this morning. We're just going to reach out now, and I'm just going to pray for you. And if you have need for prayer, I welcome you to come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. But you know what? The waters are parted this morning. The land is dry. You can walk through right now and leave that thing behind. Let's leave it behind right now. If you have need for prayer, just come forth. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, you know within our hidden hearts, God, deep within the walls of our house, Father, Lord, you know the real us. You know the real me, Father. Lord, you know the desire that we have, God, to serve you. Lord, you know the desire that we have to be effective in our families. The desire that we have to be effective in our church. That God, you know, is even our brothers sung a song, God, behind that hidden door. Lord, God, you know what's behind that hidden door of every hand that's lifted up this morning, God. And Lord God, I'm asking you right now, Father, you will help us by faith to put that thing in the river this morning, God, and start following the prophet, the deliverer that you gave us, oh God. Lord, because we know it's not the man, it's you, God, but you work through people, God. Lord, you work through man. And God, we're committing these things to you right now, God. Hands have gone up, Lord, all across the building, God. And they say, you know what? I have something that I need to live in the river this morning. God, we commit them to you right now in Jesus' name. I ask you, God, deal with every heart among us, Lord. Lord God, if we're fighting depression, God, whatever it may be, God, I commit it to you right now in Jesus' precious name, God. Lord, have your way this morning, Lord. And during this worship service, as our brother begins to, he goes to sing us a song and lead us in worship, oh God. Lord, may we see every chain among us be broken, oh God. Lord, that we may worship you with a clear heart and clear conscience. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's continue singing us a song.
We've been made one and all.
This violin up there, and they began to play it in front of the people, and they said, who'll give me $500?
Yeah.
Who'll give me $600? And nobody would bid on that violin. And who'll give me $200? Who'll give me $100 for this old violin? And nobody wouldn't give anything for it. Who'll give me $50? $25? The next thing you know, there was an old man come walking from the back of the audience. And this old man picked up that violin that didn't look like nothing. And he began to play that old violin, the most wonderful music you've ever heard come out of that violin. And they said, who'll give me $500, $600, $700? And everybody started bidding on this violin because the master had gotten a hold of that violin.
Yeah.
You know what? We've played a song our whole life. And you know what? Some of it's been okay and some of it's been pretty bad. But if you'll put your hands in the master's violin this morning and let him begin to play your life. Saints of God, he's the one that made it, so he knows how to fix it.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. He knows how to fix it. Whatever you're going through, he knows how to fix it. If you'll just give it to him. I want you to commit with me now that you'll start seeking God over what you've got, what we've talked about this morning. You commit with me that you'll continue to pray. And do as we've said. Because you know what? Something about Tony just does to us as we were talking earlier. You want so bad to see God's people prosper. You want so bad to see them serving the Lord. Saints of God, if you can just see how many times you've got brothers and sisters praying for you.
saints, the scriptures tell us that we don't want to be just hearers of the word of God. Maybe we want to be doers.
That's it.
And I know the Lord has spoken to us this morning.
It's truth.
And I know, saints, that if you will believe it,
amen,
God will speak to you from behind this pulpit every time you come here, and He will give you deliverance in your life.
Amen.
God sends leadership. God sends gifts among you for that purpose. But the one thing that will short circuit that is your reception of it. There's so many times in the scripture, like gives us examples of that, and one that comes to mind, if you will receive it, this was Elijah.
Right.
To come.
That's it.
If you will receive it.
Right.
And so, you know, Pharaoh and his taskmasters are not ignorant.
That's right.
They're working by very delicately engineered plan.
Right.
To make you dance for Pharaoh.
That's it.
Because that's all Pharaoh wants. Pharaoh, he doesn't bother him that you would be blessed in certain things as long as you dance for him and that you are doing his purpose.
That's
all that matters. And see, we can see in the scriptures that Brother Daniel mentioned that when the people went out of Egypt and they got into battle there, they said, we were better off back in Egypt.
Sure enough.
Because we had the melons and we had the leeks and the garlics.
That's right.
And so you find out that Pharaoh, he wasn't that just he was a taskmaster over the people, but he worked with an engineered plan to satisfy the people in such a way that they were actually comfortable somewhat,
even though
they were in bondage.
That's right.
So Pharaoh is a master of letting you know, or making you think, that everything's fine as long as you're serving his purpose. So he has a way of making you forget that you're dancing his dance.
That's it.
By providing these blessings and certain benefits. But saints, until you and I get to the place where we weigh out the benefits that Pharaoh gives us, like all the things Brother Daniel talked about with the iPhones or the different things.
Try it.
Look at those benefits that Satan wants to give us and weigh that out with the curse that it also provides.
Right, there it is.
Until we get to the place where we want the blessings of God more than we want those benefits from Pharaoh, well, we're just going to sit right there and dance for him. But until we get to that place, and then when we finally decide, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore because I see where it leads me to.
See,
if it's leading me to weakness in my life, it's leading me to sorrow in my life, I don't have any peace in my life, if those things are leading me to that, I'm not going there anymore.
Right.
And we have, and the reason why I'm saying that is because there's a whole lot of our gospel walk that starts out with an intellectual decision, an intellectual faith. You've heard the word this morning,
right,
and until you can identify in your life where Satan is causing you to walk that walk for Pharaoh, you've got to identify that, and then once you do, you've got to fight that.
Right, man.
And you've got to do like Brother Daniel said, put that thing over to the side and say, you know what? Until it serves me instead of me serving it.
That's right.
Right? That's the way it was. When the children of Israel came out, there were some people that could be servants to them, but you find out they became servants to those people.
Right.
And God wants you to be victorious in every way in your life. And if you've got an iPhone, He wants that iPhone to serve your gospel purpose.
That's
right. And that it is something that blesses you, and rather than it's something in your life that curses you.
That's right.
That's what God wants for each one of us. Pharaoh's not stupid. You see, whenever the children of Israel were coming to this situation there, you find out, or before the actual Exodus, that Brother Daniel mentioned it, that when Pharaoh began to see the people multiply, he began to see the people get to a place where they were going to be something that that wasn't going to benefit him. They were going to rise up in strength, and he knew that it would be for their benefit rather than his.
Right.
So he engineered a plan to make sure they stayed weak, to where he could always be an authority over them.
Right.
And so what did he do? What was his plan? The scripture said that they went out, as Brother Daniel mentioned, they'd go out, and his purpose was to take every man child, every child that was born that was a male, and throw that child in the river so the alligators could eat him.
Right.
Didn't have a problem with the women children.
Right, brother.
Because them women would raise up and serve Pharaoh's purpose.
That's right, exactly.
But God's leadership comes through the male.
Amen.
And so what did Pharaoh do? Strike against the influence of the male.
That's it.
Get rid of that out of the way, because if we can do that, then Pharaoh's job is a lot easier.
Amen.
And so what I'm saying that so you little young people could hear this. The first time something comes along and tells you, don't listen to mommy and daddy, don't listen to leadership in your in the home, you know that's Pharaoh.
Amen.
You know Pharaoh's trying to take the very channel of blessing in your life out of the way.
That's right.
And if he does it that way, I'll just go and expand it on into the ministry. If he does that to you in your mind concerning your ministry, you better look at that and say, you know what? That's Pharaoh trying to put me under bondage.
Yeah, exactly right.
So you see, we've got to take these situations in our life.
That's right.
And we got to put them in control.
Yes, ma'am.
To where they are servants to us.
That's it.
So we can pull out that phone and we can listen to a sermon.
That's it.
Rather than pull out that phone and publish our version of the gospel on Facebook.
God help us. Come
Amen.
On.
Right? We see that happening.
That's right.
I've said this a few times, maybe not to you, but it's kind of funny to me. Where did they get the name Facebook for what it is? What Facebook is used for? How did they get that name? I don't know. Maybe somebody knows. But I can tell you what, people are going to face the book.
That's right.
That's right. Exactly right.
People are going to face those books that are open.
That's right, brother.
And everything we do, if it's not under the blood, is recorded right there to be read.
That's right.
That's right.
And there's not going to be any getting away from it.
That's right.
Well, we were reading in the Bible study in our in the church age book, and we see Christ Jesus with his sevenfold glory. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His eyes was a flame of fire, and feet like brass.
Right.
All those things were representing the judgment of God.
Exactly.
Now he has changed from that God of mercy, moving into God of judgment, because the world has rejected him. And out of that sharp two-edged sword that will cut both ways, the brassy feet, the judgment. You can't temper brass.
Right.
You can't water it down with anything. This judgment of this one coming now, you're not going to turn it away.
Right.
So unless we're on the side of the gospel and being cleansed by that blood, there won't be watering down. Those eyes of flame of fire will look right through and see everything that you failed to get under the blood.
That's right.
That's the way it is. And this
hour, right. That's true.
This is the hour that we're at.
Yes, it is.
So God has given us truth this morning. And all I want to just ask as we close, not to try and just add to anything Brother Daniel said, but I look at it this way. It's my responsibility to come up behind the minister and fortify behind him and tell you he's told you truth.
Right.
And I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm with what I heard this morning.
Hallelujah.
100%. This is what I stand for. This is what I believe. And Brother Daniel's right, what he has said this morning. And so what I want to say this morning to you is that will you take what you heard? And I think Brother Daniel asked you the same thing. But will you take what you heard this morning? And I know there was days with lots of glory and lots of altar calls. And we're not against those things.
That's right.
But saints, it's time that we find something that works in our life. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over and it's not working, we better do something different.
Yeah.
And so take what you've heard this morning. And will you raise your hand if you believe that you'll promise me and Brother Daniel that you'll take what you heard this morning
Hallelujah.
And you will look at that Pharaoh in your life.
Think about it.
That you will look at those Amen. Things that you know. I know God put his finger on things this morning in people's lives.
Sure.
I don't know your personal stuff, but I know enough about the Word to know the Word is a discerner of the blessing and intent of the heart. And so I know the Word. And so what you heard, what spoke to you, the thing that pricked you and said, that's my life, that's where I'm at, that's where
that's
me. Will you promise us, as a minister who loves you and wants to give our life for you, will you take that right there that you've seen God put his finger on and say, I promise you, Brother Tony, I promise you, Brother Daniel, that thing right there, I'll take that 15 minutes that I raised
my
hand about, or that 30 minutes, and I'll take that and I'll go before God.
I'll
take that door. Asking me to open the song. When he started singing that song, I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, because I knew that God was beginning to minister right then, right even in song. See? But you promised God you'll take that door and you'll open it to him, that very thing, this week.
That's good.
And see if something don't happen before now and next
time.
Amen.
I guarantee you it will happen. You saints, I've said this. The bride of Christ is on the move.
Amen.
She's not a dead people.
That's right.
There's all kinds of other nonsense. Israel had nonsense on the outskirts
that's right.
of that.
That's
but
right.
there's a mainstream truth in this message, and God's got people that's living it.
That's right.
You'll commit these things to God. He'll make you overcomers. How many will promise you'll take what God spoke to you and you will commit that to Him in prayer
Sir.
This week?
Amen.
Amen. God sees those hands.
That's right.
I just want to pray again before we go. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is such a glorious time to us this morning. Lord, as ministers of the gospel, Lord, we see what you speak to us in our heart and how we're burdened when we see people struggling in our lives. And Lord, it makes me think about Brother Branham was speaking of the chicken who's trying to peck his way out of the egg. And Lord, we stand back and we see families in struggles, individuals in struggles. And Lord, how we would love to be able to help them in ways. But Lord, in praying and in your spirit, we know that we have to let them work their way through this trial themselves and pray for them, but we have to let them become overcomers.
Yes.
And so, God, that's what we see.
Yes.
And Lord, we're so thankful that your presence is here today to further this understanding to us, Lord, that we could take a mental understanding of faith and say, Lord, this is what's in my life, and now, God, I present it to you. I ask, God, that you would help each of these people now,
yes,
today, Lord, to keep the promise that they've given this morning as they raise their hands. Lord, let them find you waiting for them whenever they come to their prayer closet,
yes,
for that
Father.
15 or 30
heaven,
minutes. Lord, may you have that key in your hand for that door in their
yes,
life,
Father.
Lord. And God, may they take that key because they have to be the one to stick it in there and open it, Lord. You're not going to do it yourself. But may they take that key, put it in that door and open it. And Lord, may they be in awe of you as they see how you go and clean those things.
Yes, Father.
Good,
we ask
you,
God,
Lord.
You do that
good,
for these people. Lord, we have declared for months now that there is a revival in your people. And God, we want to just get on board with what you have.
Yes,
and
Father.
That all things that have not been delivered to you yet in our lives, God, they will all be laying there. And Lord, you'll strengthen your people. God, to send us forth in this great exodus that we're in. We ask, Lord, that you would make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Lord, to recognize what Pharaoh tries in our lives.
Yes,
and Lord, not just to hear these
Hallelujah.
Things, but to do these
That's
things,
right.
Lord.
Right.
To take and fight our
right.
enemies
right.
with this word. Lord, we just commit the people into your hands this day.
Thank you, Father.
In this service, everything that's said and done, we pronounce the blessings of Almighty God upon this people.
Yes, Father.
We ask in Jesus' name. God bless you. You could be dismissed as we sing again.
Well, victory is mine.
Yes, victory.